Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
If you're in downtown Alpharetta, go see my friends Travis and Andy at Turinga. They're located in City Center. And if you're going anywhere for spring break, summer break, or fall break, go see the sister restaurant Turinga at Grayton Beach across from the world-famous Red Bar.
This is the Ben Burnett Show, the only show in America that features a one-term has-been retired politician that nobody knows.
Welcome into the Ben Burnett Show. My name is Ben Burnett. My guest today is Senator Brandon Beach. Brandon, you don't know this. I was looking through the archives. You're the only person I've ever had back three times.
Well, I appreciate that.
I know.
Means a lot.
Earn media. Woo! Something to see. How you been, man?
Good. Things are good.
How are your grandbabies?
They're growing up. I can't believe I've got a granddaughter who's going pre-K at Kingsridge Christian School, and we're excited, and she gets up every morning and doing well. And then I've got a 12-week-old grandson, so we've been blessed. And Chantel, you know, is director of admissions at Kingsridge Christian School, and she loves it, and so it's been great to see that school grow. And
that's a fancy place, man. Yeah,
it is nice, so we're proud to have her there.
That's high cotton. That's too high cotton for me. I've got some public school babies. They're not ready for the
park. Our kids went to public school too, but you know, I just couldn't resist having her go to Kingsridge. I was on that founding board, and we've been instrumental and been involved in it for a long time.
It's a life goal,
yeah,
to send three children to Kingsridge. I'll get there. Well, I want to talk to you. You do some interesting things. You are the executive director of the North Fulton CID. You are a state senator who has never been short of opinions, which I share. Even if they're unpopular, I'm like, hey, yeah, he's got the balls to go for it. I always like that. You were patient zero for COVID in 2020. You caught a ration of hell for that.
Yeah.
I'll start there. You were really like the first person anybody knew that had COVID. And I thought, man, did you just... And you had a rough go of it. You had the OG original.
Yeah, there were two nights that I told my wife, I said, hey, tell the kids I love them. I'm not sure I can get through another night. It was 8 days of really, really torture. And then even after that, it was about 6 weeks of I just had no strength. I'd take naps. I'd walk up the stairs and I was worn out. It really hit me. But you got to realize that was before any type of medication.
We didn't know anything.
And it took me 6 days to get my results back. So I'd gotten tested, and then I started feeling better. I was asymptomatic. And I remember I did a Channel 2 interview with Mark Winnie, and he called me afterwards. He said, you don't look bad. I said, well, if this is COVID, I've had the flu worse than this. And then the next morning, it was like an F-150 hit me, and I was sick, and it hit me all at once.
Have you had it again?
No, I've not. I've got antibodies. I'm actually in a Emory study that there's 50 of us, and they wanted me, obviously, because I was one of the first ones to get it.
You ate patient zero. I wasn't kidding.
I'm in this Emory study. I've been doing it for, I guess, 3 years now, 2.5, 3 years now, since I've had it. I go once a month and give some blood, and they test it and said my T cells, my antibodies are high, so it's good.
So you still got antibodies?
Yes.
That's unbelievable. That's like if there was a benefit to getting the really, really, really bad version of COVID, is that,
yeah.
But you took a mountain of crap in the press. And I remember because it was the last time I had you on, and I think you just had enough of it. And I was like, man, how's COVID? And you just, I don't remember who it was. It was a state senator that was bad mouthing you. And man, you just let him have it. And yeah. I was like, it was in the AJC, and I didn't have to prompt anybody. They just found it.
Well, look, again, I didn't get my test results for 6 days. I was asymptomatic. I would have never knowingly went back to the Capitol if I knew I was positive with COVID. But we didn't know, and we didn't know a lot about it.
Yeah.
And I needed to be there for the governor to give him his emergency powers, and I wanted to vote on that and make sure he had the ability to get us through. And he did a great job of managing us through the pandemic and keeping us open for business. And I think that's one of the reasons our economy is still strong at this point. So, but I made a mistake and I learned.
I don't know that. I don't even know that I would give you that.
Yeah.
Like, you got tested, went down there, but I was like, hell, who knows?
Yeah.
And nobody knew anybody that had it. So,
you can say
you made a mistake.
Here is the good news. Nobody sitting around me that day that we went back into special session for the emergency powers, nobody in front of me, nobody beside me, nobody behind me was infected with COVID. So I was asymptomatic at the time.
Well, now we've all had it. Yeah, so we've all kind of moved on.
Anyway.
Well, I want to ask you, you know, you've had an interesting 2021, 2022. You were the only member of the legislature that I know of that openly supported David Perdue, who is a longtime friend of mine, and I did as well. How's your relationship with the governor?
Well, let me say this. I think you said it best. I did support David Perdue, but I took a page out of the governor's playbook. He's never said one bad word about Donald Trump. I never said anything bad about Brian Kemp. So I was not against Brian. I was for David. David and I were friends. We worked on issues together at the Savannah Port when he was a U.S. Senator. I liked David. It was nothing against Governor Kemp. And as I just said, Governor Kemp's done a good job. I am now endorsing and supporting Governor Kemp. I want him to win. I'll do anything I can to help him turn out vote in North Fulton and Cherokee. Again, I never said anything bad about Governor Brian Kemp. I was just for David Perdue because David and I were friends and we went way back.
One of the things that I really like about you, even when I don't like your politics, and you and I have had enough good scrums to know that, like, that's fine. But man, if you ever need a friend, it doesn't matter what the issue is, like, you will come find me. And that's the thing in public service that you really can't, there's not a lot of people like you. And I would say that as an ultimate compliment, not for or against somebody else. It's like, if you need something, man, tell me what it is. I'll give you all my resources, that whole background.
Well, I learned that from Johnny Isaacson. I got to tell you, the late Johnny Isaacson, when I lost my first Senate race, the only phone call I got was from a U.S. Senator named Johnny Isaacson. Called me to say, hey, I know it was a tough loss. Hang in there. Your time will come. Don't give up. We need people like you in public service. And I never forgot that call. And that's the kind of guy Johnny was. I remember his old saying, friends and future friends. And so I've kind of tried to live by that. And I want to be there for people during their good times, but there are going to be times they have some rough times. And that's when you really find out who your friends are. And so that's what I've tried to live by.
One of the issues that is, I think you were an early adopter on, is back in the day it was casino gaming, and now I think that some of that conversation has changed somewhat to, because you see North Carolina, who has all sorts of website sports betting, you see Tennessee doing the same kind of thing, and I can't tell you how many people I know that'll cross the border to go put their bets in on Saturday. We're sitting here at Dickey Broadcasting Company, 680 The Fan. Anytime they go to Harris for anything, as soon as they cross the state line, flip open any number of sports gambling websites. And I'm a guy who's not necessarily a casino gaming guy from a hardened infrastructure, but if everybody else is doing it and I have to cross a state line, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me that you guys can't seem to figure out how to put that past the finish line and send it to the voters, because I think it would pass. Even if I disagreed with it, I think it would pass.
Well, I'm all for letting the voters make the decision, number one. But number two, you're exactly right. I do know people, and my son has friends that live up in the North Georgia area. They drive over to a Walmart parking lot, place their bets, and then come home. And Tennessee's seeing that revenue and generating that revenue, not Georgia. Look, sports betting should happen.
It's not going anywhere.
And I think it should happen. I think the sports franchises want them. One of the things the franchises have is they have a dilemma. They want to get people in the stands, and they want people to be able to mobile bet on their phone, interact with the game, but you have to be in the stadium so they can geofence the stadium to get people to go to games. So I think that sports betting should happen. I think it will happen. I also am a big proponent of horse racing because I look at that as it helps South Georgia and Metro Georgia, wherever they put the track, because of the horse farms, the hay farms, the breeding. The money's not in the track. Anybody will tell you that Keeneland doesn't, they make more money on their horse auctions and their breeding than they do on their 2 months of racing. But what I'd like to see is a development with a racetrack, very similar to the Battery, with a hotel, restaurants, retail, office, and so on, and with a horse track that's, you know, second to none, the Augusta National of Horse Racing, very similar to Keeneland. And I think we could do that, and we'd bring the equine industry here, so you would create a lot of jobs. They say for every horse that's in your state in horse racing, there's 20 jobs that are created, from the trainer to the blacksmith to the veterinarian and so on, just through the system. So I think it's an economic development impact on horse racing, and I think it's a sport. And if we can bet on football players, we should be able to bet on horses.
Oh, I mean, you kind of cornered me on my argument there. What do you see in 2023 with the legislative session, and I'm going to make a presumptive statement that Brian Kemp will be reelected, and I think that it's, you know, and he's working really hard. Burt Jones, who has, you know, has been on the show, you know, is working really hard. What do you think the most pressing needs are to the state of Georgia that are close to you?
Well, I will tell you, to your point, I do think Governor Kemp's going to win. I think Burt Jones is going to win. And I think Herschel Walker's going to win. And I've said this a lot. Leadership matters. Elections matter. And elections have consequences. And we've seen what's happened in Washington, D.C. in the last 2 years during this last election with inflation and gas prices. And I made a comment the other day. I spoke to a group. I said, this election's about gas and groceries, and we do not want Washington-style policies to come to the state of Georgia. And Brian Kemp won't allow that, nor will Burt Jones, nor will Herschel Walker. He'll go up and fight for conservative pro-business issues. Now, as far as the session, I think what we're going to do is continue to do what we're doing, and that is creating jobs. I mean, if you look at what we've done in the last 2 years, and I've got to give not only the governor, but Commissioner Pat Wilson has done an outstanding job of bringing jobs to Georgia. And I think the legislature also has helped. We've got a great pro-business, less, you know, regulation-type policies that we've put in place to attract these businesses, and they want to be here. And when you look at Georgia, you've got really three economic engines. You've got the Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, busiest airport in the world. You've got the Port of Savannah, which has grown for 18 straight months. It's broken records. And then you've got the World Congress Center, the convention center business, and we're getting the 2025 college championship. So you've got all of those. And then you've got this, what we just talked about, the 285-400 corridor in your previous interview, which is technology and the fintech business and all the jobs that are created up here. And I just think the governor, lieutenant governor, and the legislature will concentrate on making sure we have great education, workforce development, making sure we have these people trained, whether it's a four-year college degree, a technical college, whatever. Make sure that we have the workforce for these companies. And I think we'll continue to concentrate in some cutting-edge businesses like the EV business with Kia and, I mean, with Rivian and Hyundai.
And Kia.
And Kia will get into it, too. They'll all be in the electric car mode. But I think we'll look at that. I think we do have to look at some issues, though, because when you have more electric vehicles and they're not, you know, filling up with gas, how do we fund our road construction? So we're going to have to look at that, and how do we compensate that, because they're still putting wear and tear on the roads, and we're going to have to do that. And I think the other big issue will be law enforcement. Listen, the number one goal of when you were on city council in Alpharetta, the number one goal is to keep your citizens safe.
And when you were.
And yeah, I mean, when I was on Alpharetta City Council, we wanted to have a first-class police force, not harassing people, but just making sure they're there to keep the community safe. And we need to back law enforcement. We need to be there for them. You know, it's a stark contrast. Stacey Abrams, for example, versus Brian Kemp. Stacey wants to eliminate cash bail. Brian Kemp doesn't want to do that. That's ridiculous to just let these criminals. It's a revolving door, and that's what some of our law enforcement police officers complain about. They'll arrest somebody, and 2 days later, they'll see them back out on the street. So we need to work with the judicial system and make sure that we're putting the bad guys away and not letting them commit crimes. I've got people telling me they're scared to gas up their car in Atlanta and the city of Buckhead during broad daylight.
Absolutely.
And that's a problem. We don't need that. So I think if you look at it, we'll work on education and workforce development. We'll continue to work on law enforcement and making sure we have safe streets. And then we'll continue with economic development, because I believe when people have jobs, it's a good thing. You can do a lot more when you, you can't cut your way to prosperity. You want to grow revenue, not taxes, but grow jobs and grow the economy. And when you do that, then you have more people spending money and doing better. And plus, I do think people really do want to work. I don't think people, wake up and say, I want to be unemployed. I think people want to work. They want to feel valued. And so I think that will help. I think we'll work on that. The other issue I know that we'll work on is, my sheriff in Cherokee tells me the jail he has right now has got too many mental patients, mental illness, than criminals. So we've got to look at the mental illness and the homeless problem. We got to figure that out. I don't have the answers to that, but I do know there needs to be some work on both those issues.
Well, I know that was near and dear to our friend Kevin Tanner,
yes.
and David Ralston, Speaker of the House. And I don't know that you legislate your way to answers with everything, right?
No,
we agree.
I agree on that.
But to say that there are certain, if you're going to sit here as Burt Jones had told me earlier today, that state's got $6 billion in excess revenues, to the credit of the people that, sit there on both sides of the aisle and agree on a budget. That's a great thing, but it's certainly, if you look at your medical system, if you look at your incarceration rates, it is certainly a conversation that I am grateful that you guys are proactive on both sides of the aisle. It's
right.
Not a partisan thing at all. It may be, it may become one down the road, but at least today it's like, hey, there are real problems in the prison system. There are real problems in the medical system, and people don't with mental disease or mental illness don't need to make their first stop to the emergency room.
Right.
I want to ask you, as a guy who ran the Chamber of Commerce in North Fulton for a long time, we saw the Wellstar Health System close in a couple of weeks, or whenever this publishes, closes a Trauma One facility. And to the governor's credit, he said, Grady, what do you need? Those people that run that hospital system are probably not necessarily his constituents. What do you make of... I think it's very hard to solve rural problems if you can't, like medicine, if you can't solve them in urban environments. Like, why, if you can't solve one here where there are people and there are resources and there are people that come through, how are you going to ever care for them? And I know that, I know you're very adept and aware of the issues, and it may be a problem where there aren't good answers. But I think that as that issue gets exacerbated over time and becomes more of a partisan issue, and I really hope it doesn't, it definitely lends itself to eventually having a single payer conversation. What do you see, holistically on all different sides of an issue of closing a hospital that serves a ton of people, and let's be honest, plenty of them are people of color. We can't pretend like that's not part of it.
Right. Look, I hated to hear that hospital was closing. When you look at other big cities, they have, two and three, and some have four Trauma One level facilities. We're going to be down to one, and I got to give the governor a lot of credit for giving this $200 million and getting another 185 to 200 beds and so on. but it's still going to put a stress on their emergency room.
Absolutely.
And it's going to bleed off to Piedmont and Emory and some other hospitals that are going to have to take some of that emergency care. But I would tell you that I don't have all the answers, but I tell you, the system is broken. My doctor of 20 years just retired, and he's doing concierge medicine now. He's not even in his office. He's going to work out of his house and do some concierge medicine and have a few patients. And, you know, he's slowing down, but
he's tired of it.
He said, I've got more people doing paperwork than I do nurses and nurse practitioners in my office. The paperwork has gotten out of control, and the coding and so on. And I don't even know all the things he had to go through. But I do know that when they went to med school, they went to med school to treat patients and give medical care, not to do paperwork and burdensome insurance type stuff. And so we've got to figure it out. And we've got the good news for us in the state Senate. We've got three doctors, Dr. Watson, Dr. Burke, and Dr. Kirkpatrick. And they really help us on those issues and let us know what we need to do on the, you know, medical issues.
If you had something and you wanted to tell everybody, you know, we're going to put this out, you know, getting closer to election season. So I've got through November 10th. It is week after week, Tuesday after Tuesday of people running for office. You are not somebody that has an opponent. How do you, if there's a bill, so you have a little more freedom than than some people, which isn't always the case with you.
Right.
What do you want to put out in 2023 that's not casino gaming, that's not MARTA, that's not, sports betting? What's something that people can look forward to out of the General Assembly, you know, based on what you really want to do and the things you believe in? Because I know you're not just a one-trick pony, regardless of what they say about you.
Well, I want to use my experience in transportation to continue to try to streamline the regulations to build a road. You know, when you look at how long it takes through the environmental process at the federal level, but also even at the state level, and I'm all for the environment, but it shouldn't take 7 years to do a study. No. If you can't see that there's an environmental problem within, you know, 15 to 18 months, then let's build the road. Let's move forward. I think roads take way too long to build. I mean, I give the example all the time that when we built West Side Parkway from Mansell Road to Top Golf, it was a little two-lane road where they had a little bridge where a UPS truck and a fire truck couldn't go over at the same time because they'd hit each other's mirror. I give the example now, that took us 14 years to build, okay? Now, and I want to put that in perspective. Between 1956 and 1970, in 14 years, during Eisenhower, started the interstate system. We built 46,000 miles of interstate in 14 years, and we sat there and messed around with 2 miles of four-lane road for, it was probably, by the time of concept to that was 13 years, I guess, maybe 14. But it was crazy, and the cost went from $16 million to $25 million because we took that federal money and they found an endangered species in that creek that was no wider than this table. But and I'm all for, you know, protecting the snails.
We love sea turtles.
But I also know that we ended up building the same road that we wanted to build, but it cost us more money. And not only the cost went up, but the opportunity cost from an economic development standpoint by not having that road built hurt us, because then we had a recession, and then the economic development wasn't happening like it would have if we'd got that road built a lot sooner. So I will tell you what I'm going to work on is to work on infrastructure, because I will tell you this.
I think I are kindred spirits.
I think there's a direct correlation between infrastructure investment and job creation and economic development, and I've seen it. When we built that bridge and that road between Highway 20 and Highway 140, and it was $9 million, and now you've got Northside Cherokee there.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful hospital with 1,000-plus jobs. I would tell you that $9 million, we got a good return on our investment by creating those jobs.
Well, you are, as long as I've known you, you've cared about roads and bridges, and I think there are people that snicker about that. But if you asked the vast majority of, you know, and sewer and water for that matter, but if you asked the vast majority of people who love local government, who serve in local government, those are the four things they care about. And it's like, well, what do you think about this partisan issue or that partisan issue. It's funny to watch, you know, 15 municipalities in Fulton County right now on the local option sales tax coalesce because they don't all have a lot in common with one another, but they're very against the fact that they're going to lose a revenue source, and it goes to fund so many of their budgets in a huge, huge way. But if you had an infrastructure project that you wanted your name on with the rest of your time in public service and the rest of your time at the CID, what do you want to see that you hadn't done yet?
Well, again, I want to streamline regulations. I want to make it easier for Russell McMurray to put a crew out there and put orange barrels out there and get dirt moving and get roads built. And that's what I want to do, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to streamline the regulations, and I'm going to fight to get our United States delegation to work on it up there.
He is the king of Georgia, isn't he?
Russell, let me tell you, we're very fortunate. I will just tell you, I think we got the best GDOT commissioner in the country. I also think Pat Wilson is the best economic development commissioner in the nation. When you look at the jobs he's brought, if you even take Rivian and Hyundai out of the equation with those massive jobs, we still surpassed what we did the year before, which was a record year. So we've had two record years, plus you add Rivian and Hyundai. It's been great for jobs in Georgia.
Well, Brandon Beach, it's always fun to catch up with you, man. I always thanks for coming in. Thanks for, you know, we're kind of beyond a pandemic, and like I said, I've had very few people twice. You were the only soul I've ever had three times, but you tell stories in a one in a million clip.
Well,
I appreciate you, man.
I will tell you this: I flew to Washington D.C. last Monday. It was the crowdedest I've seen Hartsfield-Jackson pre-pandemic. People are back out, like you said. People are feeling good. They want to get back to offices. They want to get back to work. They want to go to football games. The economy is back from that standpoint. But I would tell people, please go vote. There's a clear choice in these elections for governor, lieutenant governor, and U.S. Senate, and down the line, attorney general. And that's the other thing. I would just close with this. I would tell you that we all get enamored with these big races, the governor, lieutenant governor. People better start paying attention to their school board races and their city council races and their county commission races, too, and making sure they're voting the right people in that have good conservative policies. And that's what I would tell you with Brian Kemp, Burt Jones, and Herschel Walker. Those are the type of individuals I want representing me.
You ever miss being elected office?
I mean, I when I go to the lake, I can turn it off.
No, I said, do you ever miss me in elected
office?
Oh,
yes. Yes, 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 we do. We miss you. It's time to run again.
I don't know. We'll find the right opportunity, Brandon. I'll make that commitment to you.
Okay. All right.
It's been another episode of the Ben Burnett Show. Have
thanks
a great
for having
day,
me.
Everybody.
Take care.
Thanks to my friends at Solomon Brothers. You can find them at 17th Floor Tower Place in Buckhead or at Liberty Park Village off Old Milton Parkway in Alpharetta.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hey, Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.